I'm afraid of all the post-it notes Cash has out right now.
That's a lot of miscellaneous writing.
Right.
What's in common between a woman and a bucket?
Nothing.
Neither one could vote before 1928.
Wow.
A bucket still can't vote. Friends are like trees. Both fall down after you hit them enough with an axe.
Lord.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dave.
Dave who?
Jeff is suffering from Alzheimer's.
I like that one.
That's actually a good one.
You can pick your friends. You can pick your nose. But you can't rob a bank because that's a felony.
Ah.
Well, we are in a studio.
No, we're
let's
not.
Use it for a podcast.
There we go.
Shall we count it down?
Mm-hmm. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Dawn. You're listening to Stamp Show here today.
Return to sender. Return to sender.
Welcome to Stamp Show here today, episode 35. I'm sitting here with Scott, Cash, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Jessica. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Show here today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, and Stitcher. Let's talk about stamps.
And always stamps, remember...
Stamps, stamps, stamps.
Are you interrupting?
He attempted to.
I am interrupting you.
Stamp. Okay, I won't say it. I won't say it. Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
Oh,
crap.
Got us. So this week we'll be talking about stamp news. The new postal insurance rates are, well, postal. And we will finally know who owns a 1 cent British Guiana magenta. And our hashtag stamp stories, which is at USPS, because we want to let them know what we're thinking. And our expert topic of the week is test and dummy stamps, which are one and the same. So stamp news, this actually is a real detriment to anyone who ships anything insured. Because the insurance factor is almost triple what it used to be.
It went through the roof.
Yeah.
Postal rates changed on the 31st, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And while the first class letter rate didn't change, there were adjustments to a number of other rates, including
Very small ones. Yeah, you know, and I think a penny here, a penny there.
I think we mentioned that last week. Yeah. But then the big surprise is that they really hiked insurance rates.
And this was a big surprise. It was like, holy crap.
You don't see it mentioned anywhere.
And all of a sudden, things just came back. Postage due, not postage due for like 16 cents, but postage due for $38.
Yeah. So what are the stated rates now?
Well, it was very hard to find. The only way you could find it is by using their shipping calculator. But they don't post the increases anywhere. So it used to be $37.95 for insurance, maximum insurance of $5,000.
And that was just in an express overnight package.
Yes.
Right, which is the express mail fee is $19.95, which didn't change.
No,
because
that's
a rate that they publish. But the insurance went up.
So now it's over $86 if you want to insure a package over $5,000.
Yeah.
An express package. Yeah, combined.
It went from basically 24.
No, it was 37. So it was a little more than double. It was like $37.95 or $38, somewhere around there, to over $86.
Yeah. I mean, it just reminds me of we had this conversation at lunch. Are they trying to get more money? Are they trying to get out of the insurance business by enticing people not to use their insurance? Or have they had some really big thefts that now they have to raise their insurance to try to cover?
I don't know, but when the postal clerk tells you to just go to FedEx, that kind of says it all.
Yeah,
which they actually did. Yeah, they said
they told
go to
Jessica
FedEx.
That.
Yeah.
The actual percentage, just doing some quick math, that's a 226% increase.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And
that's astronomical.
It used to be calculated in gaps of $500 or increments, and now it's $100. So they're maybe the 500 was too much of a gap to insure, kind of roughly.
Yeah, but still, to raise that high end like that is just ridiculous.
And it jumps. It like goes normal, normal, normal. Then I believe you had $600.
After 600, yeah.
All of a sudden, it jumps literally $10 for that additional penny.
Mm-hmm. 925.
Yeah, 925.
And it adds $1.25 on top of that for every increment of 100.
Now, for us, you know, we ship stuff back when we expertise. And auction companies, they're going to be shipping things out that people have purchased. And eBay, you know, you buy something on eBay, people buy insurance for it. This is going to, in my opinion, make insuring things prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just cut it down, but actually make it not worth doing at all.
And we're not talking just about stamps either. We're talking about anything you want to insure.
Anything insured. Mm-hmm. Well, we were already talking about, you know, screw it, forget using the USPS. We'll just use a rider on our own existing private insurance that we have.
And I'm sure that's what a lot, well,
we well, that's what a lot of businesses will do. And you can do that even if you're, if you have whatever your shipping is, like if you have a stamp collection and you have insurance for your stamp collection, when you mail things, there should be a rider in your insurance policy for your stamp collection that says it, it covers shipments.
Yeah. Well, we had a person who we found out about this because we had a shipment returned to us for $36 postage due. Mm-hmm. And we called the fellow up and said, hey, you know, and he said, well, screw it. Just send it back to me, Federal Express. So we soaked the stamps off the envelope. We'll use those on another.
Oh, I would have kept that envelope. That's a big postage due.
Yeah. Well, it would have been cool if they actually used postage due stamps. But now they just have like a little red hand stamp that says, give us money.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those.
It yeah, but that's you, still modern postal history.
Yeah,
yeah
it
but
is.
It's not a stamp.
It gives you the postal finger.
Yeah.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, the owner of the new 1 cent British Guiana Magenta stamp, the world's single most expensive stamp, is... Stuart Weitzman.
I knew it. He was at the top of my list.
He's a world-renowned shoe designer.
And co-inventor of the tube sock.
Oh, no.
Shoe designer. Never would have guessed in a million years.
Well, apparently he's been a stamp collector since a child and always dreamed about filling this spot in his album.
We need a bumper.
Oh, no. A Stuart Weitzman bumper?
Yeah.
Good luck with that. If you can catch him at a show, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm Stuart Weitzman. I own the most expensive stamp in the world.
And you're listening to Stamp Show here today.
That'd be great.
So one of the main drives to purchase this particular stamp was to keep it out of the Brits' hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he actually stated that in an interview.
So where's he from?
He's Jewish. I believe he resides in New York.
Oh, that's hate speech you're talking about there.
Uh-oh.
Hate speech and racism.
Hey, she said British hands, not German hands.
So that's what I'm talking about. Britain is the third rail of stamp collecting. You don't talk about it.
What?
So it's on display right now at the William H. Gross Stamp Gallery.
Now, there's somebody. I want to get Bill Gross to do a bumper. And I want to get... I sent an email to Mark Cuban. Now, I have no clue. You know, he probably gets 22,000 of them a day, and mine will get deleted somewhere. But Mark Cuban, if you're listening, we want you to make a bumper.
Yeah, apparently he was born in 42, so he's not that old. And he is an American citizen.
Hmm.
So he is from here. Designer, he looks like he's got shoes in a lot of nice places. Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom.
Probably I've never heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. No JCPenney or Payless shoes.
How many pairs of Jimmy Choos do you own?
Zero.
Oh, my gosh, exactly.
I'd have to get that special plastic surgery to fit in those things.
Yeah, the part where they whittle your feet down to points.
Yep, just so you can fit in those shoes. It's a thing.
Hey, surprise, surprise. He has a store down the street in South Coast Plaza.
Oh!
We should go down there. Can we see the stamp when you're done with it?
Yeah, I'm sure he keeps it in his shoe store, yeah.
Exactly.
What do you, I wonder, This is obviously a biggie stamp. Wonder if he makes a pair of shoes with the stamp on it. I mean, he's a designer. Guaranteed there's going to be a 1 cent magenta shoe coming out somewhere.
He should do a shoe, a woman's stiletto pump, that's in the color shade of the magenta stamp.
And there are so many female stamp collectors that they will just disappear off the shelves immediately.
Yeah, we're way off track now. And there's no crickets on here.
There was a track?
So our hashtag stamp stories this week is we want to know how you feel about the change in the insurance rates or if you even care at all. So tell us at hashtag stamp stories at USPS. So you'll be telling us and the USPS how you feel.
And just a note, if you buy stamps and they go through the mail, if you buy off eBay or any place like that, this does affect you.
How so?
Well, I mean, they increase the insurance. All of a sudden, everybody's saying, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't want to pay my... People charge a dollar for postage. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, they're, you know, okay, thank you for your purchase. Your shipping charge is now $12.80. They're going to go, what the hell are you talking about?
True.
So our updates this week. Cash, what corrections do you have from the previous podcast?
I have no corrections, and I also have nothing really to say.
Well, then don't say anything.
Oh, you know that's not going to happen.
Well, I do have...
Of course not.
I have one request.
No.
And that's if we have any British listeners, I would really, really like to get one of the Monty Python stamps used on an envelope.
New series?
Yeah, they put out a block of 10 of great British comics. And they have a lot of guys, you know, but Monty Python, the group, is one of the stamps, and I really enjoy Monty Python.
So go on eBay, find a seller that's located in Great Britain.
I did.
Buy something and ask them to send it with those stamps on it.
Oh, that I didn't do. But I went on eBay looking for somebody who had this stamp for sale.
No, just look for a seller, buy something from them. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah. Buy a $5 item and say, hey.
Something that'll fit in a regular envelope and have them tell them, hey, can you mail it with this stamp on it?
That is an excellent idea. I am going to do that.
Stamp-stortion.
You know, if he doesn't, you try somebody else.
Yeah.
You might have to buy three or four, you know, $2 or $3, $5 items, but
you'll get there.
You ought to get one.
Be that easier to get it if it was a Chinese stamp and you told the Chinese seller you wanted it.
Oh yeah,
because there's much more stuff from China I'm finding than anywhere else on eBay.
Well, it doesn't have to be British material you buy. The seller just has to be British. He could be selling whatever.
Well, you have to find a person who
uses... He'd be selling motorcycle parts.
Yeah, you have to find a person who uses the stamps, though, because I want one stamp out of a block of 10. So he's got to use the other 9 on postage.
Oh.
Yeah, but if you don't ask...
Yep.
I'm pretty sure on eBay there's a... It's not used very often, but there is like a wants section that you can get to, the things that you're looking for. And you could post that as that you're willing to pay for that as a service on eBay.
No.
You said to do it through the right section.
Just like how people send you locks of hair through eBay or something like that.
Who does
that? That constitutes human body parts and trafficking. That's a forbidden category.
Really?
Yep.
What about the Victorian? Oh, never mind.
Well, that's an antique. That's different.
So our expert topic of the week is dummy stamps, otherwise known as test stamps, and there's a big debate about what they should be called.
Well, I like test stamps, but the question is, what are you testing?
Well, also the fact the stamp actually does say test on it.
A lot of times it does, yes.
However, the booklets say dummy on them, on the outside of the booklet.
Yes.
So booklets are dummies and stamps are tests.
So what's a test stamp?
Test stamp is a stamp that was produced to help in the development and test the production equipment, including printing presses, stamp and booklet manufacturing equipment, help design stamp vending equipment, adjust and test stamp affixing equipment, and to
basically
test and adjust stamp affixing equipment both in the development stage and at vending sites. So, like, if you go to the post office and you get the stamp vending machine there, every once in a while a guy comes out with a bunch of test stamps and dummy booklets to make sure it's vending the proper number of items for what you pay for.
So instead of the post office giving somebody a bunch of stamps and saying, put this through the machine and see if it works.
Because stamps
and then let's do all the accounting to see how much money we gave you and stuff. They say, here, take these pieces of paper that have the same thickness, the same weight, the same type of gum, stuff like that. So they give them a piece of paper that resembles very closely a stamp. And that way they shoot it through and there's no accounting at the end. It comes through the other side. They say, hey, the thing worked. What do you want me to do with these pieces of paper? They throw them away.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the stamps are considered accountable paper, which means you got to account for the value of them. And since they don't want to do that, they use these dummy and test stamps. And they come, you know, started out mostly in coils. Mm-hmm. And then they went to booklet panes and sheets and things like that. But they started back in the 1870s.
Oh, wow. They've been around for a while.
Yeah. And with all of the private vending companies, they were very popular Most of them are very, very rare. The older ones are very rare. The newer ones you can find.
People actually tried to use them as legitimate postage.
Yeah, that occasionally happens because the stamps...
They try to use everything for legitimate postage.
Yeah, well, the dummy stamps are actually tagged and everything else, just like a regular postage stamp would be. They're made with the same stamp paper, same adhesive, whether it's lick and stick or self-adhesive. And I mean, they make them in ATM panes, and they make them in full booklets and folded booklets.
Well, the common thing to see...
Coils.
Yeah, is coils, because they would... test out the coil dispensing equipment.
Well, not just the dispensing equipment, but also the affixing equipment.
Yeah. Hmm. So you didn't want to, like, give them, here's a roll of 3,049-cent stamps. You say, here's a roll of 3,000 zero-value stamps. Go run them through your machine and make sure your machine works.
Yeah, and besides, if they were testing an affixing machine, those stamps would be affixed to envelopes and... What are you going to do with the envelopes now? Now you can't reuse the stamp unless you soak it off or something. So it becomes much more difficult to reclaim that money and justify the money for the purpose.
Is there a section for them in the Scott catalog?
For U.S. there is. For other countries there is not.
Yes, for the U.S. specialized catalog, Scott does have a section. And they list the coil and sheet stamps in first. And then they list all the booklets and booklet panes in separate listings.
So what other countries used them then? You said they're in there for U.S. but not for worldwide. Are there any other interesting ones?
I would gamble
anywhere that
I would gamble that every country in the world uses test stamps.
Well, yeah, if they have an affixing machine or something like a vending machine, it makes sense that you're going to want to use that. And I've seen some from Britain and some from Sweden, some from Ireland. So I know they exist. Most of these, especially in Europe and the developed Asian countries, that all have post offices with this kind of equipment, they all use those.
Where you see a zillion of them from just about every country in the world is the computer vending postage. Almost every country developed a test stamp to run through a computer vending machine.
Oh, yeah. We've gotten some of those from some of our Chinese friends. I remember those. They come through blank or some weird situation with them. Zero value, $0 and 0 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've seen those. It looks like Britain did a couple of them called Poached egg test stamps so that they made sure they were even using the right weight of ink on the stamps. They look kind of interesting.
Well, that's the whole thing of if you're testing a coil affixing machine, you have to have the same gum and the same weight of paper, and then it spits out the other side, and you see if the stamp stays on the envelope. If the stamp doesn't stay on the envelope, you know, it didn't work. Otherwise, it could be, you know, if you change the gum or something, you'd have something weird going on.
Now, there's a test stamp called the Mail-O-Meter Dummy Stamp. So that name sounds familiar. Weren't Shermax and such using those machines?
Yeah, that was one of the private vending companies that used their own perforations in the stamps. And there are some of those out there. Again, they're very rare and very expensive. But they do exist. And that's one of the things that, I mean, different companies vended postage for the post office. Like if you had a general store, you might have you might sell postage stamps in your general store, and whatever company may have made your vending machine. And so they would be the ones that would come out with the dummy stamps for their company and run them through to make sure that the vending machine was working properly so that when you put the postage stamps in there to sell at full face value, that it worked properly.
So Jessica said the word dummy. So is there a difference then between a test and a dummy stamp besides IQ?
They're kind of interchangeable. in this particular field, they're kind of interchangeable.
Yeah, I said the article I was reading about it said, oh, well, dummy stamps are often misidentified as test stamps. Dummy stamps are this, this, and this. And I go, well, wait a minute. That's the same list you were just talking about what test stamps were used for. Well, so what's really the difference?
Well, as Cash said earlier, a lot of times when they vended booklets, complete booklets, the test stamps would be on the inside. The booklet panes would be test stamps. And then the booklet covers would be stamped dummy.
Oh, okay.
That's what they did, but I have no clue whether or not that's any real definition.
I don't know if there's any. I mean, they're lumped together in the same section, and they're generally collected and not. I guess interchangeably, but
I think whatever
whether that's
it says,
technically correct or not, they're really collected together.
It's whatever's printed on the stamp. If the stamp has the word test printed on it, then it's a test stamp. And if it has the word dummy printed on it, it's a dummy booklet.
Now, oh, I'd love to have something that was official that says dummy.
I do know that occasionally you'll see real postage stamps overprinted specimen. And there are a couple of those that are listed in the test and dummy stamp section. In particular, the 25-cent ATM flag pane from the 80s, well, or early 90s, I guess it was.
In the early days when they were first experimenting with perforating stamps, they had the 3-cent 1851 issue, the 3-cent stamp with Washington on it. And they shipped sheets of it off to Britain to test their perforating machine to see, you know, if it's something they wanted to use. And what they did was they took and made big, huge black marks through all the stamps. So basically, they pen canceled all the stamps with a paintbrush and sent off the sheets and said, this is an actual piece of paper that we use. See if you can punch holes in it. And then the British, you know, they shipped it back with the holes punched in it. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, that works pretty good. I guess putting holes in stamps and so you can separate them will work. And so they did it. But it, technically, those are test stamps. They're not specimens.
Right. Now, like I said, there is the one particular item I mentioned. There may be one or two others, but for the most part, they're not specimen stamps. Specimens had a completely different purpose.
Why don't you tell everybody what it is?
And that was to share an example of our postage, what our postage stamps looked like with other countries that we sent mail to.
Oh, cool.
And so we would overprint them specimen, and then when the Universal Postal Union came into being, we would send them to the UPU headquarters, and they would pass them out to the member nations. Before that, you would have a treaty with a country, and you might send their postal service a set of the current postage stamps that they could expect to see on mail so that they would know what valid postage stamps look like from your country.
Interesting. I didn't know they served that actual nice of a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually I have seen recent, in the last 10 years or so, every once in a while some small African country will have their postal archives will be available with specimen stamps from various countries. And it's kind of interesting. You see all the, you get sets of the specimen overprints. Now, a lot of times they had leftovers and those were sold to collectors. There's still specimen stamps, and Stanley Gibbons lists those for a lot of their Commonwealth countries. They had extra copies and they just sold them off to collectors.
So those would have been the ones that just didn't get sent off to actual foreign countries. They were right. Like leftovers.
Right, but the ones that actually went to a foreign country and became part of their portfolio, then those I think would be more desirable.
No, they weren't just written specimens. Some of them had holes punched through them or various marks to denote you couldn't stick them to anything and have them work, right?
Correct.
How did those work?
Well, those wouldn't necessarily be for a particular country. They might be for another purpose.
I do believe that the original code was that you were not allowed to deface the stamp except with the word specimen. Because if you punched holes in it, you know, people wouldn't know what the stamp looked like.
Hmm.
So they want to make sure that when the stamp gets to the other side, people can detect it as a counterfeit.
Well, a lot of times when you see hole punches like that, those are remainders, like with the telegraph stamps.
Yeah.
You see punched holes. And that's okay after those stamps were no longer needed and there was no reason to sell them for any purpose. They would just sell them to collectors and they would just invalidate them and punch them with holes so that you couldn't say, well, you discontinued the service and I have this stack of stamps left over. Give me my money back. So to prevent people from doing that, they would punch holes in the remainders and then they would sell those off to the collectors very, very inexpensively. But then they could fill the spots in their collections.
So how do you think most of the test stamps get onto the markets?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I would think that one way would be dumpster divers, guys that go to the post office and notice them in the garbage can after the service tech has been there and pull them out and say, ooh, this looks interesting, and take them home. Or an employee that works for one of these servicing companies.
They're probably easy.
Oh, I went and serviced that machine. I used 500 stamps when he really used 200 and he pocketed 300. I would assume that that probably happens occasionally.
Since there's no accounting on them, I would assume it happens more often than occasionally.
Well, I think there's probably accounting, but they kind of take the technician's word for it. And since it's not a monetary thing, they just kind of keep track of how many they have. If the tech says he used 100 booklets or 100 stamps, then they go with that.
Because they have no value, they think he has no reason to lie or exaggerate.
Right. And they do.
But realistically, the older ones, not the new ones, but the older ones, they really have very little value. There's a lot of them out there and not a lot of collectors who want them.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to ask, are there any out there that are valuable? How does that work? Because I've never
even
heard of them.
They go from valuable to valueless.
Well, I have a roll of 3,000. A black test stamp. I mean, they catalog like $5 for a line pair. It's a coil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like $5 for a line pair and $1.50 for a stamp. And what am I going to do with 3,000?
And good luck getting it. Yeah, find 3,000 people who want it.
Yeah, I can't sell.
Wow. So are there any rare examples that do come to mind then that are valuable? Like the ones you were talking about, the 1851 issue, I would imagine those would be kind of expensive.
Incredibly expensive, yes. Well, the ones that are for a service, like everybody in the country was using a coil dispensing machine, you know, an attaching machine. So they're everywhere. There aren't so many ATM machines that spit out the little sheets anymore. As a matter of fact, are there any? Mm-mm. I haven't seen
any. The new postals, automated postal centers, they still use the ATM pains.
But they don't spit out stamps anymore. They spit out metered postage. Right?
No, you can buy stamps. When you buy stamps at the automated postal center, it spits out ATM pains.
Oh, okay.
So whenever something is a small run, like ATM, I was going to bring up the ATM pains, even though a friend of ours just acquired a number of, you know, some of them, they are very rare because, you know, you only, you use them on that ATM machine and then, you know, that's it.
Well, almost.
So instead of 10,000 coil dispensers, you have 5 ATM dispensers.
Well, but I mean, as a matter of course, the collector who collects those things are almost as rare as some of those test stamps. So that, you know, supply and demand will drive the price.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, it doesn't take very much to kind of overwhelm the market and kill the price on something.
Which is why the coil stamps are so...
Right.
Yeah.
Right, which is why I have a roll of 3,000 I can't even give away.
So I guess in 2002, a new dummy booklet was discovered of pheasant stamps. So I guess they're still out there. They're still making them.
Oh, yeah. The test stamps are still being made.
I'm surprised it was a discovery. I mean, the company, I believe it was Avery. And they go, well, we do this stuff all the time. We print these, you know, they ask for 1,000 pieces of paper and we crank them out.
I noticed one on eBay last week that doesn't appear to be listed in the catalog. It's a different color than anything that's listed in the catalog.
Yeah.
Now, are these different than, I guess, from the stamps that I'd find? I have some that are Christmas seals, I think, from the 40s and 50s, where it's individual stamps that are color tests for each color that was used. And it's the single color printed on a stamp, and I'll have a whole series. This one was the yellow, this one was the red, this one was the black, and
those
it shows all the combinations
there. Those
are
called progressive. They call them progressive essays, but they're not actually essays.
They're proofs.
They're progressive, and they call them proofs sometimes, and they're not really proofs either. They're progressive printings, let's just call them. So, and they were sold for collector's purposes.
So to differentiate then, a test or dummy stamp was used somewhat after the fact to test
just
machines
equipment.
And whatnot.
And
equipment.
Only equipment. Yeah, not at all. Well...
Well, they used them to test printing presses, too, early on. I mean, when you had a new design of a printing press, you didn't want to run something that was going to be accountable through it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when you need to do that first, you know, 500 sheets of test running through to make sure everything works.
Because a lot of times these new machines would add the perforations, they would add the gum to the paper, they would print the stamp, and these new machines as they were being designed contained multiple stages, and they wanted to make sure that they all worked, but they didn't want to print actual stamps.
Interesting.
So if you want to know more information about dummy stamps, there's actually a study group. So you can just look up dummy stamps study group.
It's the Dummy Stamps Study Group of the United States Stamp Society.
God, that sounds like a tongue twister.
So there are more dummy collectors out there.
There's a handful of them.
That's not an insult to their intelligence, by any means.
No.
Hey, there's a chicken stamp research group.
Yeah, there's a group for everything at this point.
Maybe they could join forces.
Only if they have a G-clay of a Viking
chicken.
A Viking test chicken.
No, you just have to be the leader of the chicken group for that.
Okay, can I get a drum roll, please? Let's open our sheet.
Oh-hoo. Now, supposedly, there are less than 30 of these found. So that means that my chances of this being a $50,000 sheet is much higher and possibly not zero.
Ooh.
And it is...
Oh, a plain white piece of paper.
Yeah, well, the card, they come, the reason why, yes, it is normal, they come with a card, and if the card is blank, and if the card has printed on it, congratulations, then you know. So you could actually pull either the stamps out or the cardboard out, and you will know whether you're a winner.
Run home, Charlie. Run home as fast as you can.
Okay, so that wasn't a winner yet. So you can email.
Oh, did I not say that? Well, the fact that you didn't hear yelling and screaming.
Right. That's kind of indicative.
That was an indicator that I didn't win, yeah.
Okay, so you can email us at stampshowheretoday@gmail.com, Twitter at stampshowht, Facebook stampshowheretoday, and our website www.stampshowheretoday.com with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions and comments on our Google Voice answering machine anytime, country code 1-949-873-4298. There's also a link to our Google Voice on our website so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting.
This is Gregory Slaughter from Esper, and I'm listening to the Stamp Show here today.
Hi, this is Stephen Patillo, also known as Stamp Show Steve. I'm sitting here in the offices of PSE, Professional Stamp Experts, and I'd like to say hi and welcome you all to come to the various stamp shows once a month in Glendale, Van Nuys, and Anaheim. You can find all these dates, locations, and maps at stampshowsteve.com, and we welcome you to bring your stamps in to sell or buy or trade. There's multiple dealers there to help you fill in your collection or to buy what you may have for them. I hope that you all can sometime venture out and come to one of our shows, look it up on our website, and come in if you have stamps for authentication purposes or grading purposes, seek out myself or the table that represents PSE Professional Stamp Experts.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, the book that teaches you about repurfs, regums, color varieties, and much more. Get yours for $10 at www.philatelicsecrets.com today.